Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, if you would. It's my privilege to share with you from the Word of God this morning. What an honor I have in breaking the bread of life and sharing it with you and with those that watch us on the internet. We have about 175 people now that are at least 175 computers that are logging on and are part of this service every Sunday. And then the numbers are in the thousands of those who download the messages and things after they've already been preached. So when you look around and you see the number that are in here this morning, you can multiply that and know that the gospel is going forth. We're praying that we're touching many, many lives. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for participating in what this church is all about. And that is reaching the lost and discipling people. I'm interested in your life. I'm interested in your growth. As I walk in this place and in the other sanctuary and pray, I am praying that the Lord would help us to bring forth something that sticks, something that changes your life. I don't want to just have a service anytime, but I want us to have an encounter with God. What Heidi said, just a few moments in the Spirit of the Lord, or just a word from the Spirit of the Lord, if we will reach out and take hold of those moments in His presence, it's life-changing. Now, I can tell you this morning by experience, both of observing others and my own life, our Christian lives are active. They're not passive. You know the difference? Passive says that I just sit and wait for something to hit me. Active says that I go after it. The Christian experience is an active experience. You may say, well, you know, God has never done that to me. Well, what are you doing to make it happen? Are you putting yourself, as they used to say, under the spout where the glory comes out? You know, we need to have time. We need to take time to wait in the presence of the Lord. That's one reason why camp is so effective, because the kids are there. They're with a purpose, and they know that every single evening that they're going to get together in that chapel and that they're going to seek the presence of the Lord. And it has an effect upon our lives. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, it's the same thing with us. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. Anybody need that? They will walk and not faint. Jackie, did you hear that? Wherever you're at. The song used to say, "Teach us, Lord, to wait." You know, when you're going through things, the temptation is to kind of pull back. Oh, I don't feel like praying. Oh, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Those are the times you need to press in even more than at any other time. And know that the Lord, our Lord, is able. My Bible says He's able to do exceeding and abundantly more than we could even ask or think. So you think you want a blessing. The Lord wants to bless you more than you even think you want to bless you. But it will come as we wait in His presence. So I invite you to come out tonight at 5 o'clock, and we're going to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. And I hope you'll be with us. This morning's passage is in the 8th chapter of Matthew, and I've given this the title of Healed on purpose. Healed on purpose. And let me pray over you one more time. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the great privilege that you have given me for over 50 years of opening this book and sharing your word with people young and old. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege that is mine. But Lord, I realize that my study, my preparation, my years of doing this are not enough to touch a single life. We need your Holy Spirit in this house. Move among us here, even as on the day of Pentecost, you filled the room and then you filled their lives. So fill this room. And may every single life in here be touched by your power, by your truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. I can tell you this morning that there were no accidental miracles or healings in Jesus' life and ministry. Again, there were no accidental healings in the ministry of Jesus. I'm not preaching about this morning, but I would mention to you one little lady who crawled in, it says, through the midst of a huge crowd as Jesus was ministering to individuals. And she thought that she would come in and grab hold of the hem of his garment and be healed, and he wouldn't know anything about it. Kind of an incognito blessing. Soon as she touched the hem of his garment, he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples looked around in this huge crowd. Everybody's pressing against him. And they go, "What do you mean? You're being shoved all over the place." He said, "No." He said, "Virtue has come out of me. Somebody touched me." So he looked her up and he said, you know, found out her story, that she had this issue of blood and how many years, and sought all the help of the doctors, and nobody could help her. And she just knew that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. And he says, "Your faith has made you whole." In our passage this morning, there are three miracles that I want us to take a look at, because all three of them show very clearly the purpose of the Lord in healing each one of them. It's important that we realize this morning there needs to be a purpose beyond your wholeness for the Lord to heal you. There needs to be a divine purpose that is fulfilled by your healing. And we don't like that. We say, "Well, isn't it enough that I'm sick and the Lord would make me better?" Well, that's a cool thing for you. But there is a divine purpose that needs to be met. I think you'll see that it's not hard to come in alignment to this, but we don't always do it. Most of the time, and forgive me for this, but it's really true, and I can statistically beat you to death if you need that. We live as we want, but we expect everything. We forgive when we want, but we expect forgiveness. We pray when we want, but we expect power. We question everything, but we expect miracles. We give when we want, but we expect blessing. We need to come into an alignment with the truth of Scripture, that there is a divine purpose in every intervention of God into a man or woman's life. It may not feel comfortable, but I think as we begin to open these up, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about from the Word of God. Let's look at the first miracle here in verse number 1. It says, "When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Okay, so first of all, his condition. His condition is today called Hansen's disease, but it's leprosy. It is a long-term illness that affects the nerves, it affects the eyes, it affects muscles, respiratory tract. It is a deteriorating disease, much like cancer, in that it is cellular destructive, that the body literally begins to fight against itself. There's a lack of feeling. There's deterioration of the skin. It leads to open sores, which lead to infections, and ultimately death. Leprosy still exists today. Back in the 1980s, there were 3.5 million lepers around the world. Today, because of the wonders of modern medicine and the outreach of medicine around the world, because most of the leprosy exists in third world countries who are struggling with medical things, today there's around 216,000 cases of leprosy. So this disease still exists in our world today. Now, the first century leper did not just simply have a disease, but he had a malady that caused him to break out of society. Because of the unsurety of this disease, lepers were forced to leave their family, leave their community, and live, if you will, in a leper colony or isolation. If by chance someone who did not have leprosy came close to them, they had to holler at that person, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" to stop that person in their tracks, to keep them from coming close to them. So this man who hollered out to Jesus, instead of pronouncing himself to be unclean, began to cry out to the Lord. The cure that is mentioned here in Scripture, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Okay. You didn't touch a leper, because in that day they were pretty certain that that's how it was transmitted, was by touch. In fact, that was not really the case, but that was what they believed in that day. So you have to think that this man, we don't know how long he had the illness, but he had been isolated from his family and from all of society. Anyone who got close to him, he had to yell and proclaim that he was unclean. And now here is this Jesus who has reached out his hand and touched him and proclaimed him to be clean. Can you see how radical that was? It was a miracle beyond just the healing of the leprosy. Because you see, the Lord was healing him, not just externally, but he was healing him internally. Can I tell you this morning that that's what the Lord wants to do? We often come to him with our physical illness. "Lord, fix this back situation. Lord, fix this. Because if you do that, then I'll feel better." Feelings are good. How many of you like to feel good? Yeah, we like to feel good. So we may approach the Lord with that desire that we would feel good. The Lord's interested in more than that. He is interested in not just healing our physical bodies, but he is more interested in healing our inner man. This man was walking about with a full sense that he was unclean and unworthy to be touched, unworthy to be spoken to, unworthy to be with his family or friends. "Kick me out of society because I am unclean." See, Jesus could have said many things. He could have said, be healed of your leprosy. But instead, he said, be clean, because he went to the heart of the need that that man had there on that hillside. I want you to know this morning that the Lord is interested in not just what's happening to you in your physical body, but he is interested in what's happening in your mind, in your heart, in your life. He wants to heal you to the depths of who you are. You know, as I know, if you've read the Bible at all or heard messages, you know the number of times that Jesus placed his hand on someone and said, your sins are forgiven you. And he was even challenged by that. Who are you to think that you can forgive sins? They didn't realize that he was the one who was going to the cross. But nevertheless, it didn't make sense when he would take hold of a lame man's hand and bring him to his feet and proclaim, your sins are forgiven you. Why? Because he was going to the depths of that man's need. I think it's important that we realize when we pray to the Lord, Lord, intervene in my life. He's not just going to mess with the outside of you. He's not going to just change that physical need that you have so that you can feel better physically. He's going to your heart. And if you and I shut him out of our hearts, say, no, 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 I've got enough of you. I've got enough of spirituality. I'm not going to be changed. I'm not going to be affected. And we push him away. Oftentimes, we don't get the blessing. What if this man would have said, oh, no, Lord, I'm not wanting you to make me clean. I'm wanting you to heal me of my leprosy. You say, well, there's no way he would do that. He was going to accept whatever the Lord had for him. And you and I need to do the same thing, church. You may think that that leg or that back or that arm or shoulder or whatever it is that's ailing you, that that's the most important thing in the world. But I want to tell you this morning, God knows your heart. He knows the brokenness of your spirit. And he wants to get to the real heart of the matter, if you will. Excuse me. That command. Be clean. And I would point out here this morning, I'm not going to take a lot of time. It's probably another sermon, but you know, he said, if you're willing. And the Lord said, I'm willing. I want you to know this morning, the Lord's willing. He's willing, but he's willing to meet your whole need. He's willing to get inside of you and change and affect your life from this day forward. He is actually more concerned over your soul, over your inner man than he is the outer. Because if what the Apostle Paul told us is true, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in heaven, how could it be worse? How many are looking forward to dying? It shows how attached we are to this earth. You see, if we really believe that to be absent from the Lord, or absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord, it would change us. There would become a longing as we grew closer to him. Lord, I want to be where you are. Hey, we like to sing the song, Lord, you come and be where I am. Come on. But then sometimes the Lord says, I want you to be where I am. Come to where I am. And it's not loss. It's gain. See, we look at it as a tragedy. We look at it a loss. We look at it as empty. And the Lord is saying, no, let's go to the depth of the thing. Let me go to the place where I changed your life. Let's go to the place where your eternity was altered by my intervention. The greatest miracle that any of us can experience is the miracle of salvation. The fact that a holy God who knows no sin would accept us into his family is miraculous. Again, he goes to the heart of the matter. It's interesting here because the conclusion or the purpose of this is stated in the last lines. This statement of be clean was a statement of not healing of the body, but of a transformed life that this man was going to have from this point forward. In other words, he's saying to him, you're going to be changed right now. Nothing about you is going to be the same from this point forward. And he said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to be in obedience to the law. I want you to go to the temple. I want you to show yourself to the priest. I want you to take with you two lambs, one as a sin offering and the other one as a thank offering. I want you to take some oil along with it as a symbol of the Spirit of God. And I want you to present those to the priest as a testimony to him. Purpose number one of why the Lord heals us, as a testimony to other people. We need to understand this. He is not just healing us this morning so our bodies can be whole or that we can feel good. But he is going to the depths of us so that we will have a testimony to carry forth to those who do not know him. I pray that you as believers and that you who are searching, that you've come to the understanding that our God today is interested primarily in the salvation of souls. He gave us purpose, church. He said, when you are redeemed by the blood of my son, when you know that heaven is your home, then there should be a testimony on your lips. When you have been healed by the power, the intervention of God in your life, when you have been healed, the first thing that needs to change about you is your testimony. I have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have been healed by his glorious power. By his stripes, I am healed. Testimony is simple. He said, but oh, I'm backward and I don't talk to people. Not after you've been healed by the Lord. We don't know much about the guy at the Gate Beautiful except for the fact that he was a paraplegic and sat by the gate begging day after day for his entire life. His mom and dad gave testimony to that. But when Peter and John came by and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Nobody had to tell that man to testify. We talk about it, we sing about it, and it has for over 2,000 years, that man's testimony has resonated around the world. People who have opened up that fourth chapter of the book of Acts and come to the understanding that a man who could not walk for his entire life now is walking and leaping and praising God. Woo! Look what the Lord has done in me. Oh, I'm so thankful to God. So thankful he healed me. I hope the next time I get a boo-boo, he does that for me too. Come on, church. The Lord is still healing today, but he's healing with purpose. He's healing to get into the depths of us. He's healing to get in there to the part that's unclean. He's wanting to heal to the depth of your hurt so that you are no longer afraid of society. He's wanting to change you. Praise God. People are afraid to be filled with the Spirit of God. He wants to do a miracle. The third person of the Godhead wants to come in and occupy our spirit man and take over so that his spirit joins with our spirit and gives us boldness and gives us power and gives us ability that's beyond our own. Not just so that we can speak a couple words in another language, but so that we can give testimony of what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He's done it in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to ask it because I don't want to stain this thing. But I could ask you, how many of you have experienced a touch of the Lord? No, don't lift your hands. Because I don't want to put you under judgment. If the Lord has touched you, if the Lord has healed you, it should be on your lips. It should be the first thing that you want to tell other people. I have been healed by the power of God. I'm here standing before you because of a miracle. I'm telling you, healings happen because of purpose. Look at the next one. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came and asked for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am myself a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Hallelujah. Now let's talk about the condition first. The condition was that a centurion who was over 100 men, centurion, okay? That is about platoon size in today's army or whatever. That would be basically a lieutenant who would be over that. But 100 men served under him. So he was definitely a soldier under authority and one who had authority. He says, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. So that's really all we know about the condition. We don't have it labeled to where we know exactly what it was. I heard somebody not too long ago say, well, you know, if you want to be healed by the Lord, you need to tell him specifically what you have. Not true. The Lord knows before you do. This was likely a young boy. By the arrangement of the Greek words in the original language of the text, it more than likely was a young boy that he was concerned about. The cure, Jesus said to this centurion, I will go and heal him. The centurion said, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. As a man under authority and a man of authority, all you need to do is speak the word and it will be done. And Jesus stopped the train. He said, hold on a minute. In all of Israel, think about this, his disciples were standing in front of him. In all of Israel, I have never seen this kind of faith. Wow. Jesus here makes a prophetic statement that seemingly is unrelated, but I would share it. He said, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast of with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is speaking of us, church. He's talking about the Gentile believers, those who are not part of the kingdom of Israel. Those blessed people of God, he says, because of their lack of faith, they will be set aside. And others from the east and west and north and south will come in and take their places at the table of the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's me. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us a place at the table. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, this is kind of unusual because we know the story of the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus and was wanting from him. And he proclaimed to her, he said, you know, I've come to the house of Israel. And her proclamation is, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the scraps from underneath the table. And his response to her was much the same. Your faith has made you whole. I'm telling you this morning, church, that the purpose of the Lord is to respond to people of faith. Faith moves the hand of God. I'm not going to go on until you say amen. Faith moves the hand of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you don't believe that He has the power to save you, you're not saved. Because it's not the pronouncements of the words. It's not just because somebody else told you it was to be that way. It's because in your heart, it becomes a settled issue. You say, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, then you're not saved. Pastor, how could you say that to me? Because faith is knowing. I've been challenged recently about the validity of faith. Prove faith to me. Can't do it. Won't happen. Yes, but what is the proof? Believe and you'll get all the proof you need. But if you're waiting for proof to believe, it'll never happen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. So we begin to study the Word. We begin to look around us. We begin to understand that the God of creation has desired to intervene in our lives. But we must believe that He exists and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You and I, if we will turn our hearts to God, He will build faith within us. And faith will move the mountain of our illness over our situation. The Lord is obligated by our faith. Faith is an opportunity for us, church. You hear me? Faith is an opportunity for us to see the intervention and the moving of God. He wants to heal us. He wants to minister in our lives. If only we would believe. And He stuns us with sermons such as, if you have faith, as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain in your life, be removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done, Jesus said. There's no ambiguity there. He's not beating around the bush. He said, here's a purpose. Here's a purpose that will change your circumstance. Believe. Now, do not misunderstand. Belief is not easy. I'm not standing before you as one who has conquered it, but one who is striving for that innocence of real belief. You see, the longer that we walk and the more that we see and the more that we experience, the harder it is to simply believe. Somebody says, well, why is it in Africa and in South America and these places they see so many miracles? It is because when they are told that Jesus came and died and gave His body up for you and I to be healed, with His simplicity, they say, oh, okay. And that's it. With simplicity, they say, Lord Jesus, heal my body. I believe that You can. In the same way that You can save my soul, You can heal my body. And miracles happen. Blind eyes are opened. Dead are raised. Lame people walk. Still happening, church. We here in this country, we know so much, it's killing us. The church here in the United States, you know, we know so much. We're so wise. We've got so much information that it's killing us. Because when we need to simply believe, we can't. We have to put all the questions and all the appendages onto this thing, and it's as simple can be. Believe. That man said, look, you don't even need to come into my house. Just say the word, and it will be done. And the Lord, who knew his heart, knew he wasn't just playing word games, but rather he knew it in his heart, that Jesus had the power, and all he needed to do was speak the word, and his servant would be healed. And Jesus said, according to your faith, may it be done unto you. Wow. Okay, I got to get to the last one. I get to having too much fun with this. Peter's mother-in-law. I have a great mother-in-law, so I can't even give you any mother-in-law jokes. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. Let me tell you about the condition. In that day, they didn't understand fevers. They didn't understand what it was all about. So it was not to them a symptom, but rather a disease. There's a good chance that it may have even been malaria, because malaria was very prevalent during that time. So she had a fever. He touched her hand once again, just like the leper. You didn't touch somebody with a fever. That meant they were contagious and you could get what they had. Jesus wasn't bound by that. He's not bound, church. There's nothing that binds our Lord. Hear me? There are no constraints. He doesn't get shaken by cancer, by AIDS. He's not shaken by communicable diseases or anything else. Our Lord will reach out and touch the one who is sick. He touched her hand. The fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. Are you ready for this? The cure was as simple as Jesus laying his hand. Just one touch of the Master is all that is needed. Praise his name. But you need to understand something. Andrew and Peter, they had moved to Capernaum from Bethsaida. We know that because of the fourth chapter of John. Very good chance that the fact that Jesus moved from hostile Nazareth to Capernaum so that he could carry out his ministry, that they moved there as well. They picked up their family and they moved to Capernaum. Jesus did not have a built-in family structure. So even as when he was close to Jerusalem, he would go out the 2 miles to Bethany and go to Lazarus and Mary and Martha's house and eat with them. Jesus had these relationships. So more than likely, he had come to their house with the purpose of having dinner. Instead of a bachelor's meal, he was going to get a really good meal from Peter's mother-in-law and Peter's wife there in that house. So he had come for a good dinner. And when he walked in, they said, well, mom's sick. She has a fever. We're not sure if she's going to make it. Jesus said, well, we can fix that. Huh? And he just went and took her by the hand and said, come on. What? It's time to serve. Come on, Mom. Get on up. Make me dinner. I believe there's a tremendous lesson in there. You see, the Lord's purpose for healing us is quite often so that we can serve Him. You say, wow, isn't that kind of egocentric that, you know, that He would want us to serve Him? He's worthy. He's worthy. You will never, in all of your life, with all of your energy, ever outgive God. I've seen it more than once where the Lord has raised up individuals, where he has extended their journey, where he has given them life when there was no life in them so that they could continue to serve him. I've heard their cries and I've seen him respond. You see, when we want in a truly egocentric way, we want the Lord to heal us so that we can go on and be the worldly people that we are. Huh? I got a lot of stuff I want to accomplish. The Lord's not at all enthused about all the stuff that you want to accomplish. But he does have purpose for our lives. And he's very willing to touch us, if we will believe, to add to our days, to add to our health, to add to our strength, so that we can serve him. Can I tell you this morning, if you are not openly, deliberately, powerfully, decidedly looking for ways to serve the Lord, you are in disobedience. So, oh, you're a pastor, you're just wanting all the slots to be filled. You couldn't be more wrong. As I said in the very beginning, I want to add to your life. I want things to stick. I want to see you blessed. You cannot be blessed unless you're serving the Lord. And the Lord will heal you in your body so that you can fulfill his purposes for your life. And they're good. Difficult? Good. You know, when this young lady said that the Lord called her into full-time service, I don't know whether to weep for her or laugh with her. It'll be the greatest and hardest thing that you could ever do in your whole life. There will be people who will tell you, always have a backup plan. You know? Because there will be difficult times financially. It'll be hard on those that are around you. If you choose a mate and enter in with a mate and have children, it'll be devastatingly difficult for all of them. But wow. I enjoyed a certain man in your life to sit and talk with him about the work of the ministry. Because you would see tears well up in his eyes. There's nothing like doing the work of the Lord. Is it hard? Devastatingly hard? Absolutely. But nothing like it. And it becomes and is a purpose for the Lord to heal your body. I remember back in 2006 when the doctor told me, he says, I'm ready to sign and put you on full disability. You cannot continue forward because I was dealing continually with such vertigo that was putting me on the floor. And he said, I'll sign. You can get Social Security, whatever help that you can get along the way. I said, God, we're not done. We're not done. God is able. He is willing. Huh? 2 years ago, my doctor said, you got cancer. Okay, God, my whole life is about serving you. So if this is it, fine, take me into your presence. That's only going to be better than any of this. But if not, heal me so that I can get on with business. He said, oh, but Pastor, you had surgery. You betcha I did. He uses doctors. But who gave them the knowledge they have? Don't be a stupid Christian. Huh? But see, my faith is not in a doctor. I've never met a doctor or a nurse or anybody else who could heal tissue. So, well, the human body is more than able to do that. You're a fool. God is the healer. From the littlest cut to the greatest, the deepest cancer. You and I just need to find God's purpose. Lord, let me give you a purpose for healing me. I'm going to do more for you than I have ever done in my whole life. I'm going to put myself before you as I have never put myself before you before. And Lord Jesus, you are my healer. It doesn't matter how many doctors or what they use, you are my healer. And when you heal me, I'm going to testify about it. So, oh, Pastor, why did you tell us? I'll tell everybody that wants to hear. And brother, you should too. They were looking at you that you were going to die. Remember that? Yeah. I saw you in the hospital. I thought heaven was the next place we were going to visit. And here he is. Not real good looking, but he's here. Come on, church. Lord, if you are, he's willing. He's willing. But what's the purpose? Is it just so that you can feel good? Just so that you can do more worldly stuff? Or is it so you can take that testimony and lift it up in power and say, look what the Lord has done. I'm standing here before you, upright, able to preach, able to sing, able to do everything that I can possibly do because the Lord has healed me. Look what the Lord has done. There's no pointing fingers in this. Well, they must not have had enough faith. He's without sin, cast the first stone. Okay? When you're raising the dead, maybe we'll listen to you. But until then, church, let's settle on this fact. Jesus has taught us there's purpose. There's purpose in every time he intervenes. There's purpose. Testimony, faith, What's the last one? Service, thank you. Because he's still wanting to use us. Move us forward. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you have ordained healing among your people. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are able. You are willing. Help us, O Lord, to be willing to step into your purposes. Not ours, but your purposes. That our testimony can have life and power. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times that you healed us. And we just passed right over it and jumped to our feet and went on about our business. Forgive us our foolishness. Enhance our testimony with the miraculous. You, Lord Jesus, used the miraculous to illuminate who you were. You told John's disciples, go tell John what you hear and see. Blind receive their sight. The lame are raised up. The deaf can hear. And the gospel is preached. Oh God, may these signs follow us as believers. As we fulfill your purposes, may we see the miraculous take place in our lives and in those that we love and care about. God, seal this word to our heart. When we're looking for healing, may we begin to look immediately for your purpose to be fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus.